Matthew chapter 3. The message today is the loveliness of the human nature of Jesus to his Father. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway from the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him, and lo, a voice out of the heavens saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Chapter 17, Peter, James, and John are on the Mount of Transfiguration with our Savior, and Peter is uttering words that he does not understand. Verse 5, While he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. In John chapter 8, the Savior is speaking, and he says, in verse 29, And he that sent me is with me. He hath not left me alone, for I do always the things that please him. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you that there has dwelt upon the earth a man that brought joy to heaven. We thank you, our God, that it has been our great honor to have him revealed to us by thy Spirit. And we rejoice most of all, our God, that thou hast begun to teach us something of the loveliness of thy Son as he is to thee. It is our desire, Father, that all the world know of the beauties of thy Son. Thy love extends that far, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you, Father, for the extent of thy love, and we pray that thy Spirit, as thy Son promised, would take the things of Christ and reveal them unto his disciples. So, Father, in the blinded condition of those who are lost, he shall be revealed to them, because flesh and blood cannot reveal, but the Father in heaven through the Spirit. So, the things of Christ, take them, and by that Spirit, reveal them unto us. So, our Father, to accomplish this, thy Spirit must work in the hearts of all who are here, and must empower the lips of him who speaks, and indeed, we would be clean. So we confess our sins, as thou hast promised, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The contrast of the message last week with the message this week is this. The realness of God with man's human nature. That was the message last week. The realness of God with man's human nature. This week, it is the loveliness of man's human nature to God. A different man, but a man like that first man before fallen human nature became a part of him. What you have to understand about human nature is that there was nothing wrong with it in itself. Human nature, even though it is tainted, is still a blessing from God and something that's pleasing to God. Why do you think it says so often in the Scripture, Doth not even nature teach you? Why, what can nature teach me?
The Bible says, "Doth not nature teach you?" It says, "For the Gentiles, having not the law, do by nature the things of the law." And so you say, "What strange form of human nature?" Yes, it is like this. Even the vilest criminal has been created in the image and likeness of God. You say, "Not since man has fallen." Oh, yes. It says three times, "After man has fallen," that though that image is marred, he is still created in the image and likeness of his maker. It says it in Genesis 9, "Why, when man sheds blood, shall by blood his blood be shed." The reason is because he is made in the image of God. If the image were gone, there would be no shedding of blood by man. But he's still in the image of God. It says in 1 Corinthians 11 that man is made in the image of God. And it says in James chapter 3 that man is made in the image of God. So there is nothing wrong with human nature of itself. What is ugly about it is that it is fallen. And the tainting of that nature brings out in man that which worries God who made man. And it worried the Lord Jesus. Do you remember the Savior, the words that came from his lips? He said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you?" This is human nature, irritating, worrying the Savior on earth as the Father had been weary in heaven. But now, that same human nature from the Lord Jesus was one of the things that refreshed God in heaven, that pleased God in heaven, that brought delight to the heart of God in heaven, was the human nature of his Son, Jesus. Understand, there are so many who have determined that Jesus shall be only God, forget that the Lord emphasized, "For as much then as the children of the papers of flesh and blood." The Lord Jesus also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. The Lord Jesus was as human as you and I. The distinction between a Savior and you and me is this. There was no sin in our Savior. But there was that human nature, and that is what delighted the heart of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something that very few Christians know. If I ask you, on the brazen altar, when Israel was offering the sacrifices, what did God demand to always be on that altar? Some brother tell me. Morning and evening, what? A burnt offering, right? In the morning, it had to be offered. And between the evenings, that's the reading, it had to be offered. But with that burnt offering, there also was another offering. What was that? The meal offering. Inseparable. The burnt offering and the meal offering. You say, "Well, anybody that knows the sacrifices would know that." But did you know this? That not only was there the burnt offering, the meal offering, always on the altar, but there was an additional meal offering on the altar. Did you know that? That there were always two meal offerings on the altar. Always. You say, "How is that?" That's because God demanded it. You understand about the burnt offering, that is the complete devotion offering of himself, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to his Father. And that emphasizes when you have the lamb, the shedding of the blood. Yes, but at the same time, there was no blood in the meal offering. When it says the meat offering, it's really the cereal, the meal offering. It would be fruit. It would be barley. But the meal offering, fine flour, God said, was always to be there. with every burnt offering, but with that meal offering. Because while we're always emphasizing the death of Christ, the Father says, I want you also to understand the importance for me, the life of Christ. So, with the burnt offering, there is always the meal offering. But apart from the burnt offering, there was an additional meal offering as well. He said, well, isn't that remarkable? How to think that God would emphasize the death of his Son, and he does, it's always there, but with that death, there is a meal offering, and in addition to that meal offering, there is another meal offering. I can't go into that, but I want you to know that God said, thou offering the continual burnt offering, Aaron and his son shall also bake another meal offering, and they'll offer half of it in the morning and half in the evening. So, if one of the burnt offerings, you have a whole meal offering offered, in the evening, a whole meal offering offered, but there is one meal offering that lasts the whole day long, half in the morning, half in the evening. And if you have any understanding about the significance of these sacrifices, the meal offering is the Lord Jesus in his humanity. The Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of God that came down from heaven. And God said, I want that always to be before me. So think of it now. As God said in the Old Testament concerning our human nature, he said, I'm really with you. Concerning the Son's human nature, he said, I can never be weary by it. I want its fragrance to ascend to me morning. I want it to ascend to me night. I want the fragrance of that meal offering with the Lamb and without the Lamb. I want the fragrance of my Son's humanity to ascend to me morning and night continually. I never want it interrupted. For that reason, it means that the Father saw a delight in the life of his Son in a twofold way in comparison to this illustration, a twofold way, and God said, I want it offered to me. That is why I entitled the message today, the delight of the Father in the humanity of his Son, the loveliness of the human nature of Jesus to his Father. And that's why I wrote you those verses, I wrote you two of them, that the Father spoke, and I read you one of them, that the Son spoke. So we have the Father saying it, and thank God for this, we have the Lord Jesus being aware of it. The Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And the Lord Jesus said, therefore, that my Father loved me. He that sent me is with me. He hath not let me alone, because I always do the things that please my Father. Here is a man that could say, I do always the things that please my Father. And as our human nature wills the Father and the Son, so the human nature of the Lord Jesus is lovely to the Father. It pleases the Father. It delights the Father. And so if you ask me, what is one of the loveliest things that can be held by the eyes of man? That is the human nature of man obeying the will of God. There is nothing more beautiful. When you see a child, and the child is a lovely child, you look into its face, and there is beauty, there is lovely, and it pleases you. And then the child matures, and you look into the face of a handsome young man or a young woman, and there is something lovely there. But so often, the beauty upon the face is a contradiction of the ugliness in the heart. The Lord Jesus spoke about those that outwardly appear beautiful unto men, that inwardly they are full of corruption and dead men's bones. And that is what the world will do. It will take and pay the highest price for beautiful faces, those that outwardly are beautiful to the eyes of men. then if you search into their hearts, you will find that they're ugly and corrupt and selfish and vile and sinful. And in that distinction, the Lord Jesus, in that meal offering, is that inward humanity that manifested itself outwardly in such a lovely way that was pleasing to his Father. This is what Paul asked of Philemon in that little epistle. He said, I am requiring, I beseech you to do me a favor. And he said, I want you to do this for Onesimus, my son, whom I have begotten in my bonds. He said, I want you to forgive him. I want you to accept him, to receive him as myself. He said, yea, brother. He said, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. He said, give me joy in my heart. Give me refreshment in my heart. He said, I want joy and I want refreshment in my heart by your obedience. And so the Father in heaven looks down and he speaks to us and he wants obedience. He said, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And God wants obedience. But when he looks at man, instead of having delight and pleasure, there is that which wearies God, but not in the case of his Son. So when you look at the Lord Jesus, you see what God intended man to be. What Adam could have been apart from deity. He was simply man. But here is Adam, and you could look at Adam and see in him the beauties that God expected only in Christ, because sin entered in. And after that, there was ugliness manifested by human nature. But the Lord Jesus, in him is no sin. And therefore, all that he did, it was a thing of beauty, a thing of pleasure to the Father, and that is what God wants us to know. So, you look at the face of man, and there is something of beauty, nobility about him. That would may contradict the true condition of his heart. But you look at the Lord Jesus, and what is so remarkable is this, that evidently there was no outward physical beauty in the sense that would arrest the eye of man. Because if so, if our Savior were like King Saul, head and shoulders above the people, if he were as beautiful as Absalom is spoken of in the Old Testament, that would have been noticed by man. But John said, John the Baptist, there standeth in the midst of you one whom you know not. So think of this. One that outwardly was unimpressive to the natural eye, but one that inwardly was so beautiful that God rent the heavens asunder and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. To find something so beautiful in his Son that God cannot be silent from heaven. And that is what he desires for us to behold in his Son. The loveliness of the human nature expressed in the life that his Son lived on earth. Jesus is what God intended man to be but never was. And so for that reason, God set him before us as an example. That says he has left us an example that we should follow his steps. And then, in contrast to man, he presents to us his Son that says, please, when he was reviled, this is man and the ugliness of his human nature. When he reviled not again. So when he suffered, he threatened not. He himself bore our sin in his own body on the tree. And so here is man, murderous, and here is the Lord Jesus, bearing in our sin in his own body on the tree. Here is man, causing Christ to suffer. Christ is not threatening. He's reviled. He reviled not again. And every time that sacrifice was burning and the fragrance was ascending, the Father was reminded of the loveliness of his Son's human nature that would be manifested when he came to earth. And the Father could not restrain himself when he was baptized from saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration and man would try to say something he knew not what to say, he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." God wants us to behold the loveliness of his Son. And so, for that reason, we are never weary with beholding the perfections and beauties and lovelinesses of his Son, because the Father never was. God said, "I'm weary of you." You know what man said? It says, "Our soul loathe this light bread." The manna wearied them. Is that not a remarkable thing? That man, who is God, that the Son, who brings the light constantly to God, God insists that incessantly to be brought to his attention, man looks at him and he says, "We are wearied by this Savior being brought to our attention all the time." And some say, "Remember the Lord Jesus once a week." Why? The Father says, "I remember him constantly, without interruption. I want his loveliness always to be brought to my attention." And that is what he does. Let me tell you a message in itself, that the three colors that were in the tabernacle, the blue, the purple, the scarlet, are that symbol and are the pictures, are part of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blue is significant of the obedience Christ. Everybody says it's the heavenly nature of Christ. Never mentioned it. I challenge anybody to show me. It never even says in the Bible that heaven is blue. You'll find that out, that God tells us what it is. He said you will put a fringe of blue on your garments, and when you look at it, you shall remember and you shall do all my commandments. Blue is Christ in his remembrance and obedience to all the will of God. And this is why the Lord Jesus was lovely to his Father. He said, "I do all of those things that please my Father." I simply mentioned that. So one of the three things that we have to look at for Christ to please the Father is his obedience, his acceptance of the Father's will, and our Savior's humility. Look at those things for a moment. Again and again, and that was so heartbreaking, is that pride came out in the hearts of the disciples at the very Lord's Supper. They had been proud before. They were arguing with one another who was the greatest. And then at the Lord's Supper, just before it, they were arguing who was the greatest. And then James and John wanted to be the greatest. "I want to be on your right hand and your left hand in your kingdom." And the Lord Jesus had to illustrate this humility. And that humility is that which delighted his Father. They've never learned a lesson. And as they're at the table, our Savior waits and waits, and not one of them makes a move. And so he rises from the table, he lays aside his garments, he girds himself with a towel, and he stoops down and washes his disciples' feet and wipes them with the towel. He said, "I am your master, I am your Lord, and I've done this to you." He said, "Who is greater, he that serveth me or he that serveth?" He said, "I am in the midst of you as one who serves." He said, "Now I've given you that example." And when the Lord Jesus manifested this humility, it thrilled the heart of God, because man, as I told you last week, they would come to a banquet and they would look for the chief seats. They wanted to occupy those chief seats. And the Lord Jesus noticed that. He said, "It's all wrong." And here is the Lord Jesus, earth's noblest man. And he said, "Why, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many." And the Father's heart is rejoicing in heaven when he sees these behaviors in his son, the humility of his son. In fact, that's what he would say about himself. He says, "You come unto me." He said, "I am meek and I am lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul." The acceptance of his Father's will. How often do we rebel and resist the Father's will? But the Lord Jesus said, even when his Father's will meant the decrease of his personal greatness, he said, "I thank you, Father, that you have given these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto those, your Father, that so it's in good in thy sight." He always accepted his Father's will. He never rebelled against it. The humble one, the accepting one, and the obedient one. And that's why he occupies the highest place in heaven. Why? It says, because he was obedient unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Therefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him the name that was above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Why? Because the Lord Jesus manifested through his human nature all of these characteristics that delight the heart of God. And in that obedience, not only his humanity, but his life itself was laid down. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life for the sheep, that I may take it again. The humanity of Jesus, pleasing to the Father, that I as well please the Father. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are glad that at least there has been one man that walked on earth that always pleased thee, who knew, and we are glad that your heart rejoiced in your Son. You have said so from heaven. He himself has told us that he did always the things that pleased the Father, and we are glad, our God, that he is our Savior. So you have set him before as an example that we should follow his steps. Let us remember, let us look at him, and empowered by thy Spirit, let us be like thy Son, the Lord Jesus, and our Father, who pleased with us in our humanity, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.